welcome back to Our American Queen. I'm Erin.
And I'm Emily.
And this week we will be doing part two of Taylor's most controversial songs.
Yes. So this week we have five more songs to cover. And some of them get a little, they get controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of opinions, lots of articles to go through.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to diving in. So let's get started.
Let's get into it.
Okay, the first song in the second part of Taylor's most controversial songs is Picture to Burn.
It is a bop.
Yes. However, as some of you might know, the original lyrics in Picture to Burn was, "So go and tell your friends that I'm obsessive and crazy. That's fine. I'll tell mine that you're gay."
Yes.
Which is an unfortunate choice of lyrics.
Yes, it's unfortunate. It's problematic. I think anybody that read that today would be like cringing. Like,
you kind of get that immediate reaction, like, ooh, yeah, no. And I think, is it true that she changed it before the album came out? Or was that the original lyric and then like in a later edition she changed it?
So don't quote me on this, but I believe it was, like, that was the 2006 version, and then the album came out in, like, 2008 or something, right?
Yeah, I think around there.
And then I think before the album was finalized, she changed it.
Okay.
And that is pretty much, from what I could tell, it's been, like, scrubbed, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go on YouTube and see it, but I'm sure she would rather that not be attached to her anymore.
Yeah, and I think for this particular song, I feel like only Swifties kind of know about the original lyric. I'm not so sure this controversy is mainstream. Like, I don't know.
I don't think it is because, like, I was trying to look for articles about it, but I couldn't really find any. But I know just from being in this fandom that it is a thing, and it is, like, a controversial line, obviously, so...
Yeah, I guess
I thought it would be important to include.
I think Tree probably scrubbed everything from the internet that mentions it. Yeah, but this is definitely, it fits into this episode. It is not the best lyric in the world.
Yeah, so I've heard that people, like, have tried to defend the line, and, like, they'll be like, oh, it means that she's gonna tell everybody that he's gay so that they won't date him. Mm-hmm. But I could also see where people would be like, she's saying that being gay is bad. In a way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's really necessary to defend it because obviously Taylor realized that it was not a good lyric and she changed it, so it's gone. There's a different lyric now. It was a mistake and the album has just a new lyric.
It reminds me of the controversy. I mean, it was like not as big as this, but it reminds me of the controversy around me when she deleted that line too.
Oh, yeah.
I wish she didn't delete that line, but yeah.
We got into Me, the song, in our last episode, the part one of Controversial Songs. If you haven't listened to that and you're interested, go check that out.
Okay. I feel like that one's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
You know, you can just see that line and be like, yeah, it's controversial. Mm-hmm. So we will move on to our second song, which is Taylor's cover of the Earth, Wind, and Fire song, September.
Yes, and I don't think I ever listened to that when it first came out, because she did this during the Reputation era, right?
Yeah, she did a Spotify session thing where she did Delicate and then September.
Okay, yeah, because I know that you listened to it, and that was the first time I had heard it, and that was only pretty recently.
Like a year ago.
Yeah, but anyway, let's get into it. Let's lay the groundwork for why this is a controversial song. Okay, let's start out by reading one of the co-writers of the song's thoughts on Taylor's cover. So Allie Willis says, "I didn't really think she did a horrible job. Yes, I felt it was as lethargic as a drunk turtle dozing under a sunflower after ingesting a bottle of Valium, and I thought it had all the build of a one-story motel. But I mean, the girl didn't kill anybody. She didn't run over your foot. She just cut a very calm and somewhat boring take of one of the peppiest, happiest, most popular songs in history." And I have to say, I, of course, love Taylor. I really cannot stand her cover. I don't like it at all.
That's where we differ. I'm in love. I love it.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of, I mean, we'll continue talking about this, but that's kind of my thought about it, is that, you know, Taylor, I believe, has the right to cover a song and do it her way. I think that's fine. And I think it's fine if people react badly to it and they don't like it. Like, everyone has the right to not like it or to like it. And I think she has the right to cover whatever song she wants. I don't know.
We should be clear, though. She really did change the song. Like,
she really did.
It doesn't even sound like the same song. And then also, I think it's like the 20th night of September or the 21st.
Yeah.
And she changed it to the 28th.
That part, yeah, I don't know. That's, because I think that's when she met Joe, right?
Something like that, yeah.
And I could kind of see where that might be annoying and people would take issue with that, because then you're, like, actually changing the song and the lyrics. But anyway, let's continue.
She kind of already did, though. It really is very different from the original.
Yes, she certainly took creative liberty with it.
You know who also took creative liberty? With Taylor's music?
Who?
Ryan Adams.
Oh, yeah. Huh. And we roasted him, so I guess we probably should roast Taylor. Okay. So the Washington Post wrote an article about this as well. The title is Taylor Swift's cover of Earth, Wind, and Fire's September is getting some pretty harsh criticism, and it was written by Travis Andrews. And he writes, Monique Judge, a columnist for the Black Culture magazine The Root, took particular issue with the cover. In a column titled, Taylor Swift Just Disrespected Earth, Wind, and Fire with her cover September, Judge hoped the song was some type of messed up Friday the 13th prank. She wrote, there are certain songs you don't mess with, especially if you don't have the range, and we all know Taylor Swift has the range of a dial tone. So, didn't like it, didn't like that she covered it. And I do agree. I mean, that is a very, like, happy, peppy song, and
it's classic, it is... I do agree with this person because I think it's, like, you don't want to touch, like, a perfect song. You don't want to touch a classic.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, and I think from now on I would say to Taylor, just don't mess with the classics. Just leave them be. Maybe don't cover them. I still think she, I mean, I don't really have a problem with her covering it necessarily. I just think if she had done it maybe closer to the original, maybe that would have been better. I don't know. Or I think it just would have been best, let's be honest, if she didn't even do it. If she just did something else, I don't know. Something not as classic.
Yeah, I don't really want to speak to the cultural appropriation too, because that was another criticism that the song got. But mm-hmm. I'm pretty positive she did get permission from that same co-writer of the song that said she didn't, it had, what did she say, it had the build of a one-story motel?
Something like that, yeah.
I believe she did get permission and she told them that it was going to be coming out.
Yeah, I'm sure she did because that's only the right thing to do. I just really cannot stand that cover at all, but you win some, you lose some. I'm sure she probably regrets doing it.
I wonder what song she could have done instead.
Yeah, I don't know. She doesn't... How many covers has she done?
She does a few here and there.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. But if she got permission from them, from the band or from the co-writer, and she told them that it was going to be happening, and they're okay with it, then I do think she has every right to cover it. And I, again, everyone else has the right to roast it and hate it, I think.
Because, yeah, the Spotify singles, a lot of artists do that, and it's, I believe you do, like, one of your songs acoustic, and then you do a cover.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody does a cover. Yeah. Like, I know Niall Horan did it, and he did Lover.
Yep.
As his cover.
He should have been featured instead of Shawn Mendes, but that's we'll die on another day. Yeah, okay. So what are your final thoughts on this controversy?
I definitely see where people are coming from. I think that's kind of just a general rule of thumb. A lot of the time, like, you just don't want to mess with the classics.
Yeah.
I don't think she was trying to hurt anyone. I think it kind of got blown up more than it had to.
Yeah, and I agree with Monique Judge, the columnist that they referenced in this Washington Post article, where she said, there are certain songs you don't mess with. I think that kind of encapsulates this. And I'm sure in the future, if Taylor does a cover, she'll most likely think a little bit more carefully about who she is covering and what song she is covering.
Okay, moving on. We've talked about this song in the past, but let's bring it back up again.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is one of Taylor's most recent songs that has gotten a huge amount of controversy behind it. So mm-hmm. I think it will be important to talk about.
Yes, and that song would be...
You need to calm down.
And obviously we know that You Need to Calm Down is, or was, the second single off of Lover.
Yes.
Correct. And it was released before Lover came out. And that was Taylor's first political song.
I mean, you could count Welcome to New York when she talked about boys and girls.
Yeah, but this one was, like, actually her first one where she made, like, a big statement. And with the music video, she linked to a petition, right?
The Equality Act.
Yeah, for the Equality Act. And so this was all very, the rollout of this was all very tied to politics. And it was Taylor's first time actually taking a stance on something.
Yes.
So, however, people had thoughts about it.
Which I still remember back then, I was like, wow. Like, it was crazy, the controversy. I remember, like, a new article was coming out, like, every minute. It was like,
yeah,
this is why her song is wrong. This is why, blah, 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 blah.
And it was, of course, you had people freaking out on both sides, too, because conservative people freaked out just... They were like, ah, Taylor's political now, forget about it, she needs to just leave it alone. And then you had other people saying that this was too heavy-handed, that she took too long to take a stand on something, that this... Well, we're going to get into all of it right now.
Yes. I think there's a few different facets of this controversy, so let's first talk about how she was kind of like picking and choosing how she wanted to be political. So she was silent for all of her career. And then now, when it was, quote, in fashion to support the LGBTQ community, then Taylor swooped in. And then they think that she was trying to make money off of it and, yeah, like, score points.
Let's read this quote from the New York Times by John Caramanica. He wrote that the celebrity-filled video is a worthy celebration, but it is also a plausible cover for Taylor's years of silence. Instead of sharing her views earlier in her career, at a time when LGBTQ issues were less mainstream, why did she wait until 2019 when polls have shown that more Americans than ever are supportive of the community's advancement? And this is something that I still haven't, like, decided how I feel about it, because I definitely see where he's coming from, and I see, like, what you were saying, oh, Taylor's getting involved in this now when it's more, as you said, fashionable, or it's, like, more acceptable to be talking about this in the mainstream, but at the same time, should she just continue to be silent forever, or should she at least, like, start somewhere, you know what I mean? So I can kind of see both sides of it. Like, yes, maybe she should have done this earlier before it was, as he said, you know, when the polling wasn't as supportive as it is now. But at the same time, at least you probably should acknowledge that she's taking a step, you know?
Well, yeah. So we just went over that line in Picture to Burn.
Yeah.
But then, you know, with 1989, she said that line in Welcome to New York. So that was, for a lot of people, that was, like, her first acknowledgement of human rights issues, political issues, LGBTQ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, Lover is a very interesting era.
Yeah.
It is. And it's, like, it seems like this was the one issue that she really wanted to speak on, and mm-hmm. that was, like, her biggest thing.
Yeah, and that's something we've talked about on our podcast in the past, that Taylor has really, I think, as far as I know, this is like LGBTQ rights, and I think just that is like her hill to die on. And to this day, I don't think we really know Taylor's thoughts on anything else except for this. And she, you know, endorsed Joe Biden, so I guess you could assume that a lot of what he stands for, she's in line with. But it seems very intentional that this is the one thing that she's taken a stand on. And yeah, so I don't really know what I'm trying to say with that, but
I think with that you're saying that it's important to her.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know how you can feign that kind of support, or I don't think she should be punished for, like, being in, I don't even know, but for being in favor of the LGBTQ community, mm-hmm. for supporting and linking the Equality Act and everything.
Yeah. Well, I guess that kind of is where I was going with it. Like, people said that this might have been, You Need to Calm Down in particular, was a little bit heavy-handed and over the top, but I guess where I was going with my earlier thoughts was this is her one issue that she really cares about and she's really focused on. So with that, I would expect her to be like very over the top about it.
Yeah, I understand. Like in Miss Americana, when she's talking about Marsha Blackburn, she said she is against LGBTQ people, and and then she says, and then she voted against the Violence Against Women Act. So those were her two biggest issues with her, and then I think those are, like, the two issues she cares the most about.
Yeah. Yep, because in 2018, she announced that she was a Democrat, which we've talked about also, but then You Need to Calm Down, like we said. That was the first time she was, like, outwardly political in a song.
Yes.
Just to make that distinction.
Okay, the next criticism is that Taylor was queer baiting with this song, and I think we can just kind of put that to bed quickly with a quote from Taylor herself that she wrote on Tumblr. She said, "To be an ally is to understand the difference between advocating and baiting. Anyone trying to twist this positivity into something it isn't needs to calm down."
All right.
So, I mean, there she goes. That's her explanation. Next, she's distracting from the video's point with the Katy Perry scene.
I can see that with the beginning of the song, too, where Taylor's talking about, like, mean tweets she gets, and then she turns it into the song about how people who hate the LGBTQ community need to calm down. But yet she's, like, also talking about herself, and then the video, she's got Katy Perry, and they're, like, having a reunion. I think it maybe would have been better if Taylor just kind of took herself out of it and just made the song about loving and accepting the LGBTQ community, perhaps.
Yeah, I never really liked that ending part. I thought it was kind of cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended with the burger.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow. But it definitely could have been left out. And it's funny because I remember the day that video came out, every single article was like, "Oh my God, the feud is over." So it was like half "the feud is over," "Oh my God, Katy Perry was in the video," and then half like, "She's blah, 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 she's queer baiting, she's blah, 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 blah."
Yeah, and let's read a quote about this from The Atlantic by Spencer Kornhaber. And he writes, she, meaning Taylor, is comparing online harassment to anti-LGBTQ hate crimes, which is kind of what I was saying earlier. And he continues, "It's breathtaking argument that famous people are persecuted in a way meaningfully comparable to queer people."
And then he said that the shade that Taylor talks about is much different than a parent who disowns a trans child, a lawmaker who tries to nullify same-sex marriage, or a church member who crashes a gay soldier's funeral. Which
yeah.
is absolutely correct.
Yeah, it is, but at the same time, you know, Taylor is trying to make an uplifting song, and it's about a serious topic, yes, but it's more so just like a celebration almost, I think. And I don't like, I do agree with him, but how would these things fit into her song the way that she wanted it to be, like, kind of happy and uplifting? Taylor could write a song about what this writer is talking about, like, the more serious issues that people within the LGBTQ community face. However, I think if she's going to talk about those things, it needs to be a more serious song and not in the format of a song like You Need to Calm Down, is my opinion.
I don't think that's necessarily true, because you have a song like Born This Way by Lady Gaga that is strictly, well, it's not strictly about LGBTQ, but I mean, I think that song is done better.
Yeah, but that's still a celebration. Like, she's not...
But is she talking about hate in the song that she gets?
No, no, and that's what I said. I think that's a valid argument. I think what I said earlier, a few minutes ago, the part where Taylor talks about, you know, you say it in a tweet that's a cop-out, but you say it in the street that's a knockout, blah, blah, that part probably could have been taken out and just focused completely on LGBTQ community rather than Taylor herself.
Exactly.
As we know, at the end of the video, Taylor put the link to the petition for the Equality Act, and then at the VMAs, right?
Yeah.
That summer, she sort of plugged that again when she won Best Video.
She said, I think it has enough signatures to get the White House to look at it, and then she did her little clock.
And as we know in the video for You Need to Calm Down, Taylor had a lot of recognizable, well-known figures who are LGBTQ. She had the guys from Queer Eye. She had Ellen DeGeneres. She had, who else?
A ton of people.
Yeah, she just had, you know, we've all seen the video. We know who's in there. But was that something people took issue with, and was there controversy surrounding the fact that she had, like, all these famous people in it, or not so much?
I don't think so.
Because I feel like I remember seeing something about that, but maybe not.
I mean, I'm sure there was, but not as much, you know, it didn't factor in as much as the other stuff.
Okay, so that pretty much covers, I think, all of the different facets of controversy that You Need to Calm Down had surrounding it when it came out. My overall opinion of it is that it could have probably been a little bit better, but I think overall it was a good attempt on Taylor's part to really show her support and show it in a meaningful way toward the LGBTQ community, and doing so in a celebratory way. Like, the video was very happy and colorful and nice. What do you think?
I think she definitely had to do something after she said her political opinions in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And we all pretty much figured that she would have some sort of political song. So she had to have a first foray, and this was it. And it got a lot of criticism, but hopefully from here on out, people will be more accustomed to it.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, it was her first time doing it, so I think it'll only get better from here, although she did do Only the Young afterwards, which is another one of her political songs. Which,
that one's more well-respected, though.
Yeah.
And it was used for, I think it was Biden's campaign, so.
Yeah, so that was her next political song. That was more about gun control and just how young people have the power to change things. And yeah, I guess that one didn't really have as much controversy.
Okay, let's move on to Look What You Made Me Do.
Okay. This is just a cultural moment, this song. The overall controversy with Look What You Made Me Do is just that Taylor made herself into a victim again after she said she wasn't going to. She's the new Taylor, but she's just like the old Taylor with all of her beef with celebrities and victimizing herself, yada, yada, yada. So let's read this quote from Amy Zimmerman of the Daily Beast. We've read a few of her quotes before. And she writes, Swift continues to shift the blame. Despite the social media cleanse, snake metaphors and lyrics, I'm sorry, the old Taylor can't come to the phone right now. Why? Oh, because she's dead. That suggests schlepping off her old self Look What You Made Me Do doubles down on her victimhood narrative, further portraying herself as maligned and misunderstood. I think that quote encapsulates nicely the controversy around this song.
Yes.
What are your thoughts?
I think when Taylor went away for so long, people expected maybe that she would come back with, like, a new mindset and just, like, a new outlook. But then I personally don't think that the song is making herself the victim.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see where people who don't like Taylor would be like, oh, here she comes again. We thought she'd be different. But nope, she's just having the same victim mentality yet again.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think for me, Look What You Made Me Do is more, well, Taylor knew what she was doing, you know? Like, this is a highly, highly dramatic song.
And it was Taylor, a highly, highly dramatic situation.
Yeah, it was very, everything was very dramatic. And the song, I mean, everyone was waiting to hear what Taylor would say about it. And we knew after the time she went away, when she came back, she was going to have to address what happened with Kim and Kanye. And this was her way of doing it in a highly dramatic fashion. And I don't know. I don't really view it as her victimizing herself so much either. I just think it was written partly to get a lot of publicity, a lot of articles going, like, you know.
Well, let's break down Look What You Made Me Do, the title. Yeah. I could see how somebody who doesn't like Taylor would look at that and be like, are you serious? Like, you're really going to be that controlled by other people, like, blah, blah. But I personally love it. It's like, look what you made me do. I'm going to write a song about you, and I'm not ashamed of it. You know, to me, it's, like, kind of empowering.
Yeah, I kind of agree, because this song, to me, and Reputation as a whole, really, I view it as Taylor
taking back the narrative.
Yes, but I was going to say, I always viewed it as her owning the fact that she's very dramatic, that she's, like, always involved in all these things, and, I mean, that's literally the entire point of Reputation, that's her reputation. And I think once we got the rest of the album, this song kind of fit in better, and we kind of understood the entire point of Reputation, which is that there's a lot of different facets to Taylor, aside from that public persona that she has.
And I personally think the song's meaning will continue to unfold as the years go on, because when it was released, we didn't have any of the Scooter Braun context, and now, mm-hmm. I personally believe it is partly about him, because we know that Taylor, for years and years, has had issues with him, so mm-hmm. I personally believe that as the years go on, it'll age just better and better.
Yeah, and plus we got the, I guess it was the full-length call between Kim and Kanye and Taylor last year.
Oh yeah, it was like right when coronavirus started.
Yeah, and in that video, it showed both sides, and it showed that they edited the original video to make Taylor look worse.
Like we always do.
Yeah, exactly. They made her look worse than she actually was in that conversation. So in that sense, if they edited her to be a certain way that she actually wasn't, I think she kind of has the right to be, as they love to say, the victim, because they kind of destroyed her reputation there for a bit.
Do you believe that the song is satire in the same vein of, like, Blank Space?
I do, and that's what I'm saying. I do believe part of it is her just being like, yes, I'm dramatic, and this is me kind of, like, making fun of that.
So when she says the old Taylor can't come to the phone right now, you think that part is, like, kind of satire?
Yeah, I do. At the time, people were annoyed by the song, but like you said, as time goes on, and I feel like it already is kind of starting to be this way, people are realizing how iconic it was.
Mm. Yes.
And it truly, I mean, not to be annoying, but it really was like a
cultural reset.
Yeah, well, not a cultural reset, but this is a huge, huge piece of pop culture. Like, this will be iconic for many, many years to come.
Do you remember the first time you watched the video?
I do.
Me too.
That is a great video. And yeah, I think it's very, very well done on Taylor's part.
Yeah. I think there's, honestly, I think there are parts of the song that aren't even really revealed yet. In the same way of, like, something like, I did something bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
I think we'll know more about that as she drops the re-records. I have a feeling I did something bad is about Scooter and his plans to overtake her career and stuff.
Yeah, side note, I really hope she releases Reputation bonus tracks whenever she
releases. Oh yeah, I was gonna ask, do you think there were other, like, do you think she had a ton of songs going to address this situation? I personally do. I bet she had a few songs, and then she's like, you know what, Look What You Made Me Do is the best.
Yeah, I think so too. And we were kind of, this is more of a side note, but we were talking about this the other day, how we just sort of had this realization that once all the re-records come out, when she drops the bonus tracks for each one, that's how she's going to, like, get into the news, because it's going to be speculation about the bonus tracks, who they're about, like, the Speak Now, they'll be like, is this about John Mayer? Like, Reputation, is this about, like, Kim and Kanye? So anyway, that's exciting. Things to look forward to.
Okay, so with that song, I feel like it's pretty self-explanatory. It just fed into Taylor's reputation as the victim and playing the victim.
Yep. That just about covers it.
Okay, our last song is Dear John.
Speaking of John Mayer. So, this song really is what made the media talk about Taylor and her boyfriends, and, oh, watch out, she'll write a song about you. I think that can all be traced back to Dear John.
And yeah, I picked this song because, one, it's the first time she ever said a person that she was with's name in a song. We know she has Dear John in style, of course.
Yes.
And then I think the media went crazy because they're like, who's this little teenage girl to write a song about a man and bash him, like, blah, blah, blah. You know, not taking in mind that maybe he was abusive, not taking in mind that she was 19 and he was 32.
Yeah, not great. Let's talk about what John Mayer had to say about this song.
I'm sure it was so beautiful.
So, John Mayer said when this song came out, or maybe not right when it came out, but he said of the song, it made me feel terrible because I didn't deserve it. I'm pretty good at taking accountability now, and I never did anything to deserve that. So he's good at taking accountability, but then he literally goes on to say, I didn't deserve that. Anyway, it was a really lousy thing for her to do. I never got an email, never got a phone call. I was really caught off guard, and it really humiliated me at a time when I'd already been dressed down. I mean, how would you feel if at the lowest you've ever been, someone kicked you even lower? Then, he goes on to say, I will say, as a songwriter, that I think it's kind of cheap songwriting. She's the biggest thing in the world, and I'm not trying to sink anybody's ship, but I think it's abusing your talent to rub your hands together and go, wait till he gets a load of this. That's bullshit. So that is John Mayer and his thoughts on the song Dear John.
This song must have come out when he had all of his scandals.
I would assume so, yeah.
Maybe he should have been more worried about that in the song.
And it's really hard to comment on this particular situation because this is a relationship we do not know anything about, really, Taylor and John Mayer. They were never seen together, really. Nobody ever knew, like, how long they were together, what the relationship was like. A lot of people speculate
that the bonus tracks of Speak Now, which are Ours and Superman, are about John. And she definitely, like, built him up as, like, a god, and she built him up as this, like, amazing person. And then with Dear John, it's like, no, he's not.
Yeah, it sounds like she came to the realization in Dear John that maybe she built him up a little bit too much in her head. So, you know, the lyrics to Superman, I watched Superman fly away, So she calls him Superman. You've got a busy day today. Go save the world. I'll be around.
Yeah.
He's complicated. He's irrational. Something in his deep brown eyes has me saying, he's not all bad, like his reputation. I can't hear a single word they say. I mean, people have speculated that it could have been an abusive relationship. And of course, we don't know that because we don't know. Taylor's never commented on it other than the song.
However, we do know that in Jessica Simpson's memoir, a lot of the things that she says lines up with the song.
Yes, and the song certainly makes it sound like it could have been an abusive relationship. So, you know, if it was, even if it wasn't, Taylor, I think, is justified to write whatever she wants to about the relationship. But especially if John Mayer was abusive to her, I think the song is totally within her rights. But it is unfortunate that when it came out, people, this is what made them say, oh, you can't date Taylor.
That's literally
she'll write
a
song about you. Like, she'll destroy your reputation by writing a bad song about you.
So let's not ask this young woman about this disturbing song that she wrote, and like, we'll just shame her for it, and literally.
Yeah, so I think of all the songs, well, I guess maybe Look What You Made Me Do, but this song today on this episode, I think, is the one that does not deserve the backlash it got, because it was a young girl's recounting of her relationship with a 32-year-old man who most likely treated her badly.
I mean, I'm not gonna say, but let's just say allegedly.
I said most likely treated her badly.
just based on his disgusting actions in like 2009, 2010.
So, and then we know John Mayer wrote a song called Paper Doll, which
It's not about her.
Yes, he says it's not about Taylor, but it's widely speculated that it is. And that's basically accusing Taylor of just having, like, all these different personas based on...
You're, like, 22 girls in one.
Yeah.
We love that.
Oh.
We love painting women as crazy.
Yeah. I will be very, very interested to hear the Speak Now bonus tracks.
And the Dear John re-record.
Yes. I suspect that there is a chance Taylor might release songs that are similar to Dear John, maybe, that will paint, as she likes to say about the bonus tracks, a fuller picture of her relationship with him. I don't know if she wants to dredge that back up, but I can kind of see
it. She is dramatic.
Yeah, I could see it, and I'm interested to hear what they'll be, because Speak Now is the John era.
Yeah. So overall, it was honestly disgusting the way that the media handled this situation. Taylor completely had the right to write about her own experiences with someone. And although his name is in the title, a Dear John letter is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, it is explicit, but I don't think she... I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it could be interpreted two ways. So it's not like she just wrote, like, John Mayer and that was the title. Like,
yeah.
And then the way that the media, like, protected him and was like, wow, it's really, like, gross that she wrote this song about him. And, like, she's always with all these different people and, you know, just the typical.
Yeah. And I've always said Dear John is, I think, easily Taylor's most scathing song. I don't think any of her other songs even come close. Like, this is the one, if we must call it this, this is the one breakup song.
Yeah.
That is very, very harsh and very scathing. She really, yeah, I don't think she ever came close to anything quite as harsh ever. So it makes you wonder why she made it that scathing and what he perhaps did. I don't know.
Well, I think I don't obviously know any of the details, but it seems like he was just kind of like checked out. Like, he didn't care about her at all, and she was literally 19, so she was just starting out in relationships. Mm-hmm. And he gave her attention, but then I'm sure he, like, pulled it away because he didn't give a crap about her.
Yeah, he probably liked having, because if Superman is about John, it seems like Taylor just
fed his ego.
Yeah, like, she just was completely enamored. Well, he
calls himself, like, a reformed egomaniac or something, so. Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, she was definitely very enamored with him, and that probably was flattering and nice for him, so he used her for that, but maybe allegedly used her for that. I don't know. But yeah, I think instead of listening to Dear John and saying, ugh, Taylor's so dramatic, the song is so dramatic, she's so annoying, you can't date her because she's going to write a song like this about you. Instead of saying that, why don't we say, oh, I wonder what the guy in this song did to Taylor to make her write something like this.
Yes. Thank you.
I don't think it came out of nowhere. That's all I'll say. We'll do a John Mayer episode of the podcast. We'll go through that whole thing. We'll talk more about this because this is an interesting one.
Yeah, there's a whole part of their relationship where he couldn't believe that she wrote her own songs.
Yeah, and one day we'll do that and we'll get into it. But for now, these are 5 more controversial Taylor songs. Some, and maybe even most of the controversy, I think, is deserved. However, some of it's maybe not. And as we said, I think, in the last episode, with an artist like Taylor, who's been around for as long as she has and has written as many songs as she has, I think a little bit of controversy is inevitable.
Yes, I totally agree.
So, thank you for listening.
Yes. We hope you have a good day whenever you're listening to this.
All right. Bye.
See you next time.